Scientists at the Pfeiffer Treatment Center in Warrenville, near Chicago, announced this week that Ludwig von Beethoven died of lead poisoning. That's the finding after they analyzed six of the composer's hairs and a few pieces of his skull. The scientists did their work at the Energy Department's Argonne National Laboratory and say this research confirms earlier beliefs that it was lead that caused Beethoven's long and painful death in 1827 at the age of 56. Edmund Morris is the author of Beethoven, the Universal Composer, and he's with us now from the studios of Carnegie Hall in New York City. Edmund Morris, nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Beethoven's lifestyle. I mean, he complained in his life about chronic ailments that caused him a great deal of discomfort and pain. Does lead poisoning appear to explain that?
Well, I don't know what the symptoms of lead poisoning are. I haven't seen the details of this report, but he certainly was a very sick man through much of his adult life. And in fact, toward the end of his life, the last 10 years or so, he was almost perpetually sick. So his productivity has always been a miracle, considering the circumstances.
Any thoughts on what might have been the source of the lead?
Well, I have my doubts about this. I guess I'd like to see the report. But, for example, the fragments of his skull they talk about, if these are the fragments of his skull that were disinterred in 1863 by a bunch of phrenologists who wanted to pull the skull apart to see what genius looked like. We have it on record that those fragments of bone were completely distorted by the dampness of the grave, and that's a quote. So it's not impossible that the grave could have had lead-polluted water leaching into it, which have leached into the fragments. So I really don't know if this is a tenable theory or not. I'd like to know where they got that hair from.
We're talking with biographer Edmund Morris about the news of chemical analysis pointing to lead poisoning as the cause of the death of Ludwig von Beethoven. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Other than lead poisoning, what were the culprits?
Well, every generation has its own fashionable diseases, and lead poisoning is our current fixation. In the 1920s and 30s, when syphilis was the disease of choice, there were a lot of articles written assuming that Beethoven had syphilis, but they've been more or less discounted by now. We do know from the autopsy that was performed on him after he died that his lungs were okay, that his abdomen was full of fluid, that his liver was cirrhotic. It was shrunk and hardened and greenish color. I hope people aren't listening to this before their dinner.
I hope not.
The pancreas was hardened. His auditory nerves were shriveled. So the general theory among serious medical scholars up until recently has been that he died of liver disease, chronic liver disease.
And he did, have a little wine from time to time.
Oh, yes, he liked his booze. There also have been theories that he was an alcoholic and drank himself to death, which do not hold water. He was not, by any definition, alcoholic, but he did like his Rhine wine.
And there is one theory that lead cups might have been the source of wine in lead cups may have been the source of the lead poisoning. But again, I guess that's speculation.
Well, a lot of people drinking out of the same cups, one would think, in Viennese taverns, so they're... If this theory is good, then there were a lot of people with lead poisoning in his time.
And on the syphilis question, it is known that Beethoven did frequent prostitutes from time to time, and I guess syphilis was not unknown.
That's true. There's a tantalizing note in one of his notebooks in, I think, 1819, when he checked out a book on syphilis by a German authority. But beyond that, we have no evidence that he had the clap himself.
One of the things that you write about in your book is this extraordinary relationship that Beethoven had with his own self-image. Not a handsome man by any stretch of the imagination, yet at the same time, a man of such renown, such recognized genius, that some of his admirers would throw their wives at him.
That's right. In one of the conversation books, which is written when he was totally stone deaf, there's this note by Carl Peters, one of his friends, saying, I'm leaving town for 3 days. Would you like to sleep with my wife? So there is a divinity doth hedge a king, and geniuses attract acolytes, of course. And many of Beethoven's friends, as you say, went out of their way to make life comfortable for him.
And his self-hatred was not improved by his visits to prostitutes.
Yes, I don't know if he was a man who had chronic self-hatred. He did go through spasms of puritanical disgust after patronizing prostitutes, but then so do many men with otherwise healthy psyches.
And the miracle, as you point out, of all of this is that through these very difficult and painful diseases and complaints that he had, and especially in those last 10 years, he composed, arguably the greatest music that anybody has ever composed.
Yes, that's the abiding miracle. I'm always preoccupied, as most people are, with his deafness. The fact that this music came out of, this great music, came out of deafness and indeed came out of a condition which seems to have been tinnitus. So, in other words, he was having to fight his music into realization out of this bedlam in his head.
Edmund Morris, thanks again for being with us to discuss this new information about the death of Ludwig von Beethoven. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Edmund Morris is the author, most recently, of Beethoven, the Universal Composer, and he was kind enough to join us from the studios at Carnegie Hall in New York City. Again, stay tuned to NPR for continuing coverage of that breaking story in Miami regarding the death of a passenger shot by an air marshal. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.